In fact, you get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4, the Old Testament. If you find 1 Kings, you'll find 2 Kings right after it. 2 Kings 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her, and opened upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. May we begin prayer. Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for your continual teachings through your word, and what it shows us, and the clarity your word gives us, and especially how we're to live for you. Lord, you know the hearts of each individual that's here. And I pray, dear Lord, that if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son, Jesus, as Savior, that, Lord, today would be the day of salvation. But, Lord, for we who are saved, I pray that as you speak to our hearts this morning about our walk with you and about how that we're to live for you, Lord, I pray that you'll give us each guidance. Not just the guidance, Lord, but that our resolve will be to be the servant that you would have us to be. Guide and direct my words, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. This morning I've titled the message, Collected Emptiness. And I also make the statement, you'll probably hear me make the statement a couple of times this morning, the volume of your emptiness will determine the amount of your filling. The volume of your emptiness will determine the amount of your filling. And the real forerunner of a revival, and again, a revival, sometimes people have, the churches have revival or special time set aside for revival. I contend that every service ought to be a revival for us. But the revival is not in a good preacher or in a good singer. It is the amount of our collected hunger and our collected emptiness that will bring about a revival. I've heard this term before, the God of more than enough, and you probably have heard that term, the God of more than enough, is drawn into the empty capacity of our growling spiritual stomachs, especially when we gather in one mind, in one accord, with a genuine appetite for Him. And again, for Him, not on worldly things, not on the food that we're going to partake later on, but on Him. And in fact, one of the things that we find is that this statement is really expressed in the Bible on several occasions. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 34 and 15, The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Psalmist went on to write in Psalms 34, verses 17 and 18, The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Jesus also made the statement in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, there in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and 6, where He said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now that word blessed means very fortunate, happy, spiritually prosperous to everyone that does hunger and thirst after the Lord's righteousness. Not after our own, but after His. You know, worship services are to be all about Jesus. Amen? Amen. I mean, His presence. And it's not to be about us. is to be about Him. But I will tell you that this hungerness, this collected emptiness, if we're truly seeking to be filled by Him, it's going to depend on how hungry we truly are, how empty we are, how much we cry out unto the Lord. And in our text here, we read that of this woman who sought some divine help from Elisha for her physical hunger, her debt that had been left, is that it, we see here is that this man in verse 1, that this woman came to Elisha, who was one of the wives of the sons of the prophets, and she said, "My husband, who was a servant of the Lord, is dead." And we find is that there had been some debt that had been left behind by this. So she came to Elisha to tell her of her despair, seeking some kind of guidance on how this could be taken care of. And it's important that we look there at the end of verse 1, is because the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. In other words, they were going to be held almost like enslaved for a period of time until the debt would be paid off. And who knows how long that would take. So we find is that this widow was desperate. She was a mother that had no idea on how she was going to provide, they were even going to be living, because it may very well have been that she was going to end up being put out on the street because the creditor could have ended up taking her home. And she didn't realize that her cumulative emptiness would literally determine the measure of this miraculous filling that she was going to get. She didn't know it. She didn't know what was going to happen. And you know, sometimes when we come to the Lord, and I want you to hear what I'm saying by my words for just a moment. Oftentimes we come to the Lord and we are seeking something, and we are needing something, and through prayer we're asking for something, but how many times do we present our fullness to God to fill instead of our emptiness? Now, did you hear what I just said? How often do we present our fullness to God instead of our emptiness? Because you see, oftentimes our fullness is that, this is who I am, Lord. This is how well I am. But I'm still asking you to do what? To fill me. But you're already full of yourself. How can I fill you? You see what I'm saying? When we come to the Lord, there has to be a sense of emptiness, a sense of opening ourselves unto Him. Think about the Israelites. How many times did the Israelites run afoul when they got so prideful and they turned to pagan worship as an example? What did it take to get them to where that they were, to a point where they really realized they needed the Lord? Well, Judges tells us this in Judges 2 and 18. "And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of the enemies all the days of the judge, for repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them." So what is it saying is that there are times, if we're going to seek a filling, we have to become emptied. We have to become open. We have to really feel and understand how desperate things can be. Now, this doesn't mean that we walk around in a sense of desperation. It just starts to help us to understand, without the Lord, I am nothing. With the Lord, I am everything. But how many times do we walk in this world and we walk with a proud heart, a proud mind about because of who I am, as opposed to my dependency upon the Lord? This woman in this, we don't know her name. It's not important we know her name. We know that she was in a desperate situation and she needed help. This was truly a grave situation. But I will tell you, every day we walk in this life, we need to be dependent upon the Lord. We need to seek His guidance. We need to seek Him on a daily basis. And I will tell you, the miracle of the oil and the widow appears to be a type and shadow of the way that God fills all human emptiness. Now, we start out with, what emptiness does He fill? Well, we will see as we continue to go through this message that first and foremost is that if you're without Christ, you don't know Jesus as Savior, you are completely desperate. You're empty because you don't have the Lord in your life. That's why when you read in Scriptures, and we talked about in Sunday school this morning, for all that believeth in the Lord. Well, how do we believe in the Lord? It's more than a head knowledge. It's a matter of seeing that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. It is more than just that I recognize that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came and died on the cross of Calvary. Those are words that I can speak without any conviction as a lost individual. All lost people can make those same statements. But you see, when I realize that I am undone, when I realize from Scripture that says all have missed the mark, for all have come short of the glory of God, when you realize it, and then you find is that Jesus told Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, He says that we must be what? Born of the flesh and of the Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Until we start to recognize that I am dead and my trespasses and sins, I will not be willing and ready to offer my emptiness unto the Lord to be filled by His grace. Does that make sense? I hope so. I have to realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I have to realize that Jesus is the only one who can save me. And at that tipping point of when I come to desperation and realize I cannot fix my salvation, my spiritual health of my own hands. Remember what I said is what we find here is in type and shadow here of this woman coming to Elisha. She could not fix her issue. She was desperate. She was in need. Everything in her household had run out. She was in a very much of a plight, and she didn't know how to fix it. But she went to the individual that she knew with all confidence who could give her guidance on what to do. I will tell you, the Word of God gives us guidance on what we need to do. The Spirit of God shows us and gives us that guidance that all who are sin sick, all who are lost, can come to Jesus and be saved. Because the Lord says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's Word declares that one should pour out whatever oil we have, empty ourselves so that He can fill it. And again, oftentimes we come to the Lord in our fullness with already our cup running over with ourselves before we ask the Lord to fill it up. There has to be a depletion, an emptiness, in order for Him to fill us up. Oftentimes our problem, though, is that, in fact, let me read to you what Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus there in Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, if as a child of God, we've trusted in Christ as our Savior, if we are seeking to be filled, seeking to understand more about the Lord, we have to empty ourselves completely so that He can give us His guidance, He can give us understanding, and we can be filled with His fullness. Paul wrote to the church of Colossae in Colossians 1 and 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, notice this, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How many times do we approach a passage of Scripture with all of our preconceived ideas and notion about it? And we say, well, I know what that says, and we gloss over it. But what there was lying in the middle of that verse was the gem of a word. And that word, if you had just let your heart be open to the Word of God, God would have given you a more fullness of that understanding if you just focused your eyes on the Word. Remember what I said, words mean everything. And if we just open our eyes to the Word, and then we find out that there's such more to be found in that passage of Scripture if we had just gotten past our own preconceived notions about what that text. And how many times do we, even pastors, have the same issue, is that how many times do we approach it, I know what it is, I can preach it, I don't have to study. But if we just set ourselves aside and got into it, and the more that the Lord would show us His knowledge of His will and His wisdom to provide us that spiritual understanding. The problem, though, is that it's our diet. We like to stuff ourselves on spiritual junk food and feast on the dainty bless me treats. And this kind of spiritual food is all a form and outward appearance of godliness, but it stands in denial of the power of the Lord. In fact, we're told about Paul writing about Demas there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I will tell you is that when we love this present world more than we love the Lord, then what will end up happening is that what Paul went on to write in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What he is telling us here is this, is that when we get caught up on the daintiness of the treats, and you say, well, what in the world do you talk about the daintiness of the treats? The bless me treats. How many times the preacher stand up, and the scripture says, Paul gave a warning to Timothy, for the time will come when they will do what? Turn their ears away from the word. They will turn to, and as scripture says, they will turn to teachers who will tickle their ears. Because it says the individuals had itching ears. They sought teachers who would tickle the ear. In other words, they would give me all these bless me treats, all these bless me sermons, these syrupy sermonettes. They wouldn't talk about chains. They wouldn't talk about sin. They wouldn't talk about walking in the Lord. They would tell you about name it, claim it. They would tell you that as a child of God, God owes you. I will tell you right now, God owes you nothing.
That's right.
He owes me nothing. The only thing that's really I'm deserving of is hell. Paul knew that. The Apostle Paul, he knew that. He says, he claimed, here's his claim, I'm the chiefest of sinners. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I could do nothing. But by the grace of God, I can do what God has called me to do. You see, Paul had to empty himself. And I will tell you, if you want to find a type, a shadow, an example of about the emptiness, is you go and study about Paul. You'll study about him from the very perspective of who he was, the ladder he was climbing in the religious society, especially the Pharisaical, being able to sit at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the main rabbis, and to learn, if you will, in the seminary type of setting. But he said he counts all that for loss. He had to empty himself out, and so that he could do what? Be filled with the knowledge of God. And I will tell you is that when we look at wanting to have an intimacy with the Lord, everybody wants a quick and easy way. They want that flesh blessing snack at the shallow food bar. I've got a lot of cliches today, okay? It's a food day, all right? So, everybody's wanting that flesh blessing snack at the shallow food bar. The unpleasant truth is that God is under no obligation to feed casual nibblers at His table. God is not under obligation. If you want to come by and you just want to nibble at the table, He is not obligated to feed you. Not until we come with an empty plate. I have to share this. Is that Sister Maria got in the car with us today. We brought her over here. And she walked in, she got in the car with an empty bowl. And I said, now, I have not seen that before. Usually people come with full ones. Because she told me she was going to mix her stuff here. It was just mixing. But the point was, you have to come with that empty bowl. Amen? So that we can be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with His Word. But there has to be a collected, if you will, a collective emptiness in the very depths and soul of our heart. And God is looking for people who are really hungry, people that are really seeking to know the Lord, to know more about Him, instead of all this bless me church smorgasbord and all we do is we sample a little here, a little there. And I will tell you, that's why it's so important that when we study God's Word, that we study it from cover to cover. Paul says, I shun not to give you the whole counsel of God. We need to be studying in Genesis. We need to be studying here in Kings. We need to be studying in the New Testament. And we need to be studying in Revelation. We need to be studying all of it because it is all of God's Word. It's not just so that we get a feeling or a right feeling or hear the right song. What it is about communing with God. And when we came this morning, our desire should be is that we want to worship God. We want to commune with God. We want to get more of an understanding. But it starts with us coming with a true hunger to know the Lord more in depth. More of a relationship with Him. And think about this. Consider the man who sits at the street corner every day crying out, begging for money. In reality, that's what we need to be when we come into the church house. That we need to come, that we're begging for knowledge, begging for understanding. And so what we need is so that we know that the Lord can provide all of our needs. And when I'm talking about all of our needs, I'm not talking about all the physical things, though He does provide those things. But to provide us the knowledge, the understanding, His will for our lives. How many times as pastor have I heard this statement by the congregation, members of the congregation, I just don't know what the Lord wants me to do. It's because probably you don't know, it's because you're too full of yourself. That you have not emptied yourself. You've not said to the Lord, show me what I should be doing. I'm going to tell you right now, when somebody comes to me and says, I really want to know what the Lord wants for my life, I'm going to ask you, how's your prayer life? That's the first thing I'm going to ask you. Because He says, pray without ceasing. I'm going to ask you, what's your song life? I'm not a good singer. I didn't ask you what your singing style was. I said, what's your song life? Because the Lord says, rejoice evermore. What's your worship life? Are you focused on everything other than the Lord? The Lord says, I'm a jealous God. So you see, I'm going to start with the very basics. Where are we in our worship, our prayer, our meditation, our rejoicing? We sang this morning, count your blessings. How was the last time you counted your blessings? When was the last time you thanked Him for all that He's provided for you? And you see, one of the things that we look at is that as we look at this, is that we have to know what we want in the Lord. Now, I want you to hear what I just said. You got to know what you want in the Lord. I want to know His direction. I want to know His guidance. Doesn't the Scripture say in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, because in all thy ways He will do what? He will guide us. He will direct us. He will keep us from falling. Think about this. Hold your finger here in 2 Kings. Turn to Mark chapter 10 for just a moment. In Mark chapter 10, Matthew, Mark chapter 10, and I want to draw your attention down to verse 46. And I want to begin reading here about this man on the in Jericho. So Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples, talking about Jesus, with a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now think about that. When we're crying out to the Lord, we need to be like this blind man. That we're crying out to the Lord. You say, well, even when the days are going good, yes, still crying out to the Lord. Because otherwise, if we're not asking to be filled that day, we're already filled with ourselves. And we've got to empty ourselves so that we can be filled. And notice here that even though some say, don't be crying out so much to the Lord, this man recognized who the Lord, who Jesus was, and said what? He went to cry no more. Quiet. The master is busy. He is never too busy to speak to you. He is never too busy to address your needs. He is never too busy. And notice what happened. Then he charged them again in verse 48 that he should hold his peace. But he did what? He just cried the more. A great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And notice what happened. He got the Lord's attention. He got the Lord's attention. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now that's an important question. We come to the Lord, what is it you want me to do for you? What is your need? I think we need to, you know, sometimes we come to the Lord with this broad brush stroke. Lord, bless me today. Lord, I take care of me today. What does that even mean? I might as well say is that I wish peace for all earth. You know what I mean by that, Princess on, right? Peace for all. What does that mean? Nothing. When you come to the Lord, it needs to be specific. When you're praying for someone, you know, it's like this. As an example, Lord, I pray for all the sick people to be well. What does that mean? You need to come with specificity. This individual is on my heart, Lord. You know their needs. You may not heal them, but I pray that you give them the grace. Call them out by name. I give them the grace to live with what they got. Let them see you. If they need salvation, let this be used as an opportunity to win them unto You. If there are saved and they're struggling, Lord, help them find comfort. I'm talking about calling out specific things. You have needs in your own life. As this woman that we're reading about, she had a need, the creditor's knocking on her door. Lord, I'm calling out to this. Notice she wasn't looking for, asking for anything other than, I just need to know what to do to take care of my family. I need to know how to pay this bill. I don't know how to pay this bill. I need some guidance, and You're a man of God. I trust that You will give me the answer from God. And you see, we find here is that in what we are reading here in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Now this man's position, we don't know exactly how long he had been there, but he is what? He was a beggar. Every day they led him to the same place, begging every day. What did he need? "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." One thing, that I might receive my sight. And think about the result of it. If I had my sight, I could walk by myself without anyone attending to me. I could become productive in my work. Then this is what I have to look at. What was behind this question? It's not that I just get my eyesight and then I want this and want that. Remember what the Lord asked Solomon? "What would you have for me to give you?" He says, "I'd like wisdom to be able to lead your people." You see, a pastor needs to also be praying the same prayer specifically. Not that I will have a name for myself, I'll build a name for myself, I will build a building, put my name on the side of it, we'll have a big sign out there, my name on it. I'm not talking about that. What should I ask for? What do you want? That I might lead your people. That I might give the wisdom and expound upon it what's needed. It says, the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now think about what he ended up doing. Not only did he go his way, but he ended up following Jesus. He made a direct statement. He had already believed that Jesus is the Son of God. He had already believed that Jesus is the Son of David. He already believed who He was. It was a matter of now, "Thank You for giving me my eyesight and I'm going to follow You." Doesn't mean he wouldn't follow Him without having the eyesight. But the point was, it says he followed Him. You know, one of the things that we see is that, again, there's always going to be those that are going to try to distract us. They're going to try to keep us from turning our focus and attention to the Lord. But the Lord wants, He seeks to collect human emptiness so that we can receive divine fullness that's rooted in His law, His Word, and especially when it comes to the time of planting and harvesting. And I'll explain what I'm talking about. Think about a farmer. Farmer plants seeds in the ground. And he must, but here's what he has to do. He has to take seeds off the shelf and put those seeds in the ground. Now during that window of time, taking those seeds off the shelf and putting those seeds into the ground, he has created emptiness. His shelf is bare, and also the ground is bare. He is completely reliant on God. Because you see, the Lord had given the seeds, and now He's asked to put the seeds into the ground. The ground is barren for a period of time until God warms it, till those seeds die, until they start to flourish. The water from God comes forth, and what does He get? He gets more ears of corn. He takes those ears of corn and he takes the seeds. And what does he do? Puts them back on the shelf. But this time, he puts them back more abundantly. You see, and think about for a church. A church is no different. Is that we have to empty ourselves in order to be filled. Collected, and I'm talking about collected human emptiness, is that think about what the Lord can do if we empty ourselves. Think about even at a time of revival. You know, many times revivals, and you know what a revival is that when an evangelist is called in to preach, and oftentimes, unfortunately, churches, they believe that the evangelist is going to bring the revival. If you're ever expecting an evangelist to bring a revival, you'll never have one. Or you may get some good messages, but you're never going to have one. You see, the revival would have already started in the fact that the church realized they had the need. Does that make sense? They realized they had a need. And they invited someone that they sought after to come and preach. But you see, their hearts were already getting ready. The reason I bring this up and say this is that, I've been called to preach a few revivals over the course of my ministry. But there was one time specifically that just sticks out in my mind. Is I went to preach the revival, and I think it was the first night. The very first night. You know, I had come and I had labored in preparing, and I came and preached the first message. And then an individual came up and made this statement. Is that, it was a good message, but I'm late for my TV program. I just listened. And I said, you didn't come prepared. Your heart was not in a position. What you were is you were filled with the worldly things. As we just spoke about, as I read about Demas, Demas was a fellow soldier, a fellow servant with Paul, but the love of the world consumed him, and he walked away. Even though that individual came to the service, that individual's heart was not in the service. And you see, is that when we come to a time of revival, and I'm just giving you an example of a time that we come with our hearts empty, but I look at it, every service, folks, ought to be a revival. Every service, we should all be coming with a desire to know more about the Lord. And again, there comes with this idea is that we've got to take off the shelf seeds and put them into the ground. There's going to be emptiness, pulling the seeds off and putting them into the ground. There's emptiness. But it's the Lord that's going to give the increase. In fact, one of the things, again, this is about the law of sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, one of the things that I was mentioning is even as a teacher, as a preacher, as just a student of God's Word, how often we go to take the Bible off the shelf and we don't empty ourselves first before we go to read it. And I already mentioned this a little while ago. But you see, one of the things is that, think about this, is that what is this? It is the Word of God. I have to take it off the shelf. So what I've done is I've created the emptiness on the shelf. I've gotten also myself out of the way. And then what is the heart, or I should say, what is the ground? It needs to be going to this fertile ground. There is going to be that emptiness. But you see, the more that I study it, the more that I'm willing to empty me, then the Lord can fill me so that I can be used of Him. Think about a church. Think about a congregation that does not really care for lost souls beyond voicing it. Oh, we care that people get saved. We care that people get saved. We want people to get saved. But yet, there are no tears for lost people. And when I'm talking about that, I'm not necessarily saying that we've got to have tears flowing down our eyes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about broken hearts. I'm talking about those that are lost, that have never come to know Christ as Savior. And we know that if they die, they're going to go to hell. But I find the psalmist wrote this in Psalms 126:5-6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, what this is saying is this, is that we as a congregation, we let the Word of God sink deep into our hearts. We have a desire to see lost souls saved. And as we have opportunity, then we share Christ with others. We are going to plant. We are going out as those farmers. Remember the Lord says, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, wouldn't it be important to learn how to be a fisher of men? Think about this. If I was to go out and show you how to fish, one of the things is if you've never fished in your life, one of the first things I might do is take you out and say, here's a cane pole. And well, what do I do with that cane pole? Well, it's got a line on the end of it. It's got a sinker on it. It's got a bobber on the end of it. We put a worm on it. Push it out there, let it sink. Because right now, you're going to learn what it means to fish. Just what it means to fish. And that is the way we start to handle the Word of God. We get the cane pole. You don't start out with a very expensive rod and reel because you don't know how to use it. Is it a closed reel? Is it open reel? Which is it? I don't even know how to work the thing. Cane pole. That's what I started out with, cane pole. We had several. Use the cane pole. But then as you start to get better with the cane pole, now we can start to do what? We can then start to show you about using the different kinds of rods and reels so that we can know how to cast further at this place, at that place. You start to get good where you can flick it and it will go over here, over there. It will go over here, over there, where you wanted it. Not just willy-nilly. And then we get into more expensive reels. And those things just catch fish on their own. So, but my point is this, is that we had to learn how to use it. And it came by doing what? Being willing to be taught. To be willing to be led of someone else to show us. And that's exactly, as a church, as individuals, as families, we have to empty ourselves in order for the Lord to fill us. We have to have the idea that John the Baptist said there in John chapter 3 and verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know, as this woman of our text borrowed empty vessels, I want you to go back to the text here in 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want you to see what she was told to do. So she comes to Elisha there in verse 2 and says, Elisha said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast, in the house. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. The Lord can use everything that we have at His disposal. What do you got? Well, all I got is a pot of oil. Then he said, verse 3 is critical. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Now this tells me that it could have been full vessels. I don't care what's got in it, just go borrow vessels. And he followed up with borrowing out a few. Now you know that sometimes is that we look at this because of our faith, because of our lack of faith, we might go and just borrow three or four. I don't know what's going to happen here, but all I'm going to get is three or four. She did not know what the outcome was going to be. She had no idea what was going to be here. But Elisha said this, go and borrow many vessels, not a few. And so here the man of God is saying, go borrow many vessels from thy neighbors. I would think that what it would be is that I would go and get as many as I could find. I don't know what's going to happen with them, but I know that the Lord has told me through Elisha to go get many vessels. In her faith, again, she didn't know the outcome. She just went and did what she was told. How many times does the Lord tell us to do something? We're asking for guidance, we're asking for leadership, and we start to fight Him the whole way. If you're not willing to take the direction and leadership He's given us, then why ask for it? Remember what Jesus asked the blind man. What do you want? What can I do for you? I just want my eyesight. How many times when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I want to know Your will. And He starts to tell us. Remember what He said to the man? Go. And he went. And his eyes, he got sight right away. How many times do we have this in our hearts when the Lord starts to give us direction that we say, that's too hard. That's too much. That's going to be too difficult. Doesn't the Lord tell us, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy paths acknowledge Him, and He will give us guidance? Does He not say in His Word that His ways are higher than our ways? Does He not say that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts? Does He not tell us that? And yet, what do? Is that this woman could have said, well, I'll just go borrow a few. And I don't want to be a burden to anyone. I just want to get a few vessels. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just want a few vessels. She could have done that. And her plight would have not changed. But it says that she went and borrowed many. Many vessels, because she listened to what she was being instructed. And then she was told here in verse 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now again, think about this. Sometimes our response to the Lord is going to be limited by our emptiness. In trusting. You see, if we were voluminous in our trust, in our emptiness. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. You're asking me to take this little cup of oil, this little cup of oil, and you're asking me to go and take this pot of oil, and you're asking me to get all of these empty vessels, and you want me to pour out of this little cup of oil into all of these vessels. It ain't going to work. How's that going to happen? It's not going to work. And our faith becomes very short-sighted. If the Lord has said, plant the seed, I will give you the increase, then plant the seed. But Lord, you don't understand. You remember when, I think it was Elijah, came to the woman, and he came to the woman, this was during the plight of, away from King Ahab and Jezebel, right? Came to this woman and asked her, what do you have in your house? I'm hungry, I need to be eaten. I need to eat. What do you got? Got a little bit of bread. Little meal. And it's the last meal we've got. Little meal. Last meal we got. I'm going to fix it. My son and I are going to eat it, and we're going to die because there's no more food. He said, I'll tell you what to do. I want you to go and I want you to fix it and make me a little piece of bread. Pretty selfish, I just told you. I just told you that that's the last piece of meal I got, and when I eat it with my son, we're going to die because we don't have anything else to eat. Go make me, who is the Son of God, child of God, direction of God, prophet of God, go make me a little bread and you'll have plenty to eat. What did she do? She listened. And she did exactly what was asked. She went and made a little meal for him, made that little bread, gave it to him. And what ended up to the oil? During that time of drought, didn't run out. What happened to the meal? Didn't run out. Oftentimes our short-sightedness is because we don't believe that we take this little bit of oil and we can fill every pot that there is because of our short-sightedness. And you see, what we look at here is what Elisha told this woman. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and it shall pour out into all those vessels, that thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she did what? She went in from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And what did she do? She kept pouring out. She kept pouring out. And I have to believe that after that first pot, she kept pouring, praising God, rejoicing. The second pot, third pot, fourth pot, fifth pot, kept rejoicing. Now, she didn't know exactly what all she was supposed to do with it. And that's okay. The Lord has given us knowledge, given us will, He's given us understanding. We still may not know exactly what we're supposed to do with it yet. That's okay. Give Him time. He's going to show you. And then she did what? Is that as she filled every one of them, she said to her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said to her, I'll tell you, there had to be some rejoicing going on right now, amen. These pots are all getting full. Bring me another one. Bring me another one. And they got all full, filled up. And then her son said to her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Now, again, what are we to do? You know, sometimes Satan takes discouragement and decay to take root in our lives and tries to place in our lives and our family and our church and our community so that we won't do what? Empty ourselves. Remember I said, one of the things that's the hardest thing for each and every one of us to do is empty ourselves of the we. Me. Right? It's the hardest thing. Because you see, you know, even Paul says, I've not arrived yet. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still reaching towards the mark of the call of the Lord. So he realized he had to continually empty himself. That's why he said, you know, he made the statement, every day I've got to do what? I've got to buffet my body. It's almost like a fighter. I've got to beat my body up because why? I've got to make it presentable unto the Lord. I've got to make it to show it. He's not talking about physically beating. What he says is that the old flesh keeps getting in the way and I want to be filled spiritually so I can serve the Lord. So I have to beat this flesh down so that I can serve Him. So I can serve Him with the fullness. I need Him to fill me. And the only way that I can be filled of Him is to do what? Empty myself of me. I've got to empty myself of me. And the thing is that because we like to collect all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons, think about this, it's one thing for us to be able to have a Bible trivia contest and you win it. What did that tell you? Well, I had studied, memorized, and I knew the Bible. But who does it affect? Did it change your life? Did it cause a life change? It's one thing to know the Roman road, but have you ever shared it to change someone else's life? Have you ever used it? Because you see, all the Bible knowledge, I will tell you that when it comes to, as we've studied already, even the devils believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But when we have all this Bible knowledge in it, and it does, you know, the churches are filled with people. They are filled with people that have collected stuff from the Bible for all the wrong reasons and never used it. The Scripture says, study to show, study to know, study to apply, study to rejoice, study to pray, study to know what to pray, how to pray, who to pray for. The effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. What does that even mean? The effectual prayers of a righteous man. What is a righteous man? What does that mean, a righteous man? I look at a righteous man. Granted, I will say that you're righteous if you've trusted in Christ and He's your Savior. I'll say that. But I'm talking about this. A righteous man is one that has emptied himself of him and has to be filled by the Lord. So then he can focus on the prayer at hand. That is the prayer of an intercessor prayer. So the woman came back to Elisha and said, I've done all you asked me to do. I took that pot, asked for a lot of vessels, filled them all up. What am I to do? Then she came and told the man in verse 7 of God, and he said, I want you to do this. Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live, thou and thy children of the rest. What if that woman had been unwilling to take off her shelf that pot and pour it? What if she had been unwilling to take the pot and pour it? She did not know what's going to happen. But she was willing to take the pot. Now she's got an empty shelf, no oil. She started pouring it. And where did she pour it? Into empty pots. You see, that's exactly what we need to do, is take the Word of God. And we need to take it and pour it into empty pots so that they may become filled. Again, it's that statement of the law of sowing and reaping. You and I need to take off our shelf the Word of God and put it into the empty pot. But we have to become empty if we're going to receive it. This woman did exactly what Elisha said, and as a result, he says, go and sell the oil, pay the debt, and live, thou and thy children of the rest. You see, if we aren't willing to take the Word of God, and not only take it for our own lives, how in the world are we ever going to use it and let it apply to our lives? You've heard me make the statement before, is that you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. What kind of Bible are they reading of your life? Is it a holy Bible? Or is it a true Bible? And you say, aren't those the same? No, they're not. True Bible is all of God's Word being applied. A holy Bible says, I've taken my scissors and I've cut holes around those verses that I just don't care for. They don't apply to me. And it became very holy. The wind blows through it, goes out it. Holy Bible. Words mean everything, right? H-O-L-L-Y versus W-H-O-L-L-Y, right? Taking the whole Bible and apply it to our lives and then seeing how we can live as children of God and have rest. You see, if we're not willing to do the things that God would have us to do, then I will tell you there will be no fullness. Remember what I said before at the beginning, is that the amount of our fullness is going to depend upon the amount of our emptiness. The amount of our fullness is going to depend on the amount of our emptiness. That is true for we as individuals, as families, but especially as a church. The amount of our filling, if we're going to be filled by the Spirit of God, if we're going to be filled by the Word of God, if we're going to be encouraged, enlightened, is going to be by our emptiness. But you see, that filling is not just to fill you.
that is so you'll take of what you've learned and apply it and use it. For us, it may be a change in our daily activity, what I'm doing, places I go, things I hear, allow myself to hear. Remember what Demas? He forsook because his heart went with the world. I'll tell you, the world has a lot to offer you. Satan offers you a lot. But really, it's only death and destruction. That's all the world can offer you. Jesus is the only one that can offer you salvation. Jesus is the only one that can offer you heaven. Jesus, and that's why he says, set not thy heart on the things of this earth, but set thy affections on things of what? Above. Because you see, when we set our affections on things above, we can walk in the Lord. We can follow in the Lord. We can live for the Lord. But it starts with a collected emptiness so that we can then be filled by the Lord. I don't know your hearts this morning, but I'll tell you, if you've never trusted in Christ, you are empty. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you're really empty. Oh, you may be full of yourself in your pride, your glory, your human stature, where you are in society, but you're still empty. If you'll trust in Jesus, He will fill you. But it starts by recognizing you're truly a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus can save you. He will save you. He'll save you forevermore. But I also have to ask this morning, where are we as children of God? Are we walking around in our self-importance? Are we walking around in the Lord's importance? Following Him, serving Him. That will never happen until we empty ourselves of Him. And as the Scripture says, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, and you really don't know where I am with my walk in the Lord. But I will tell you, I'm praying for you, and I pray that you'll pray for me, that my walk and your walk will become closer to the Lord, so that His way and His will become evident in our lives. Let us stand as our musicians come for hymn of invitation. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, Lord, I thank You so much for what Your Word has taught us and what it's shown us just by the simple example of this woman that came completely distraught. She cried out. The Lord heard her prayer and took care of her need. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning who has a spiritual need of salvation, that they will cry out unto You, because I know that You will meet their need. For we who are saved that need to follow You in Your ways, Lord, I pray that You'll give guidance and leadership, and Lord, we'll step in faith towards You. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.